Okay, so Aurobindo's books and the difficulty in understanding them. So that's what, it's a very valid question. And what I meant was in the sense that, well, one of the difficulties that comes in understanding Aurobindo is that we have certain preconceived ideas about ourselves, preconceived ideas about life, preconceived ideas about spirituality, preconceived ideas about God. Now, in every yoga, in genuine yoga, I'm not speaking of, one of the important aspects is to get freed from all these mental, I wouldn't like to call cobwebs, but they are formations that stick to us. And whenever we understand anything, it is through this lens that we try to understand. And it applies through everything in life. I'll give an example, and I remember in what context I was saying and with regard to what aspect really. So for example, if somebody is going through a problem, let's say somebody has a sickness or some unfortunate event has happened. So we have a preconceived idea that due to karma. Now this is the idea which we have gathered because we believe that whatever is written is true. So, and I was giving this example of someone who spoke about if somebody has done a bad karma, one is meant to suffer, and then idea of forgiveness and vice versa. So this, whenever we look at life through this lens, so what is the automatic understanding? That if somebody is suffering, the person deserves to suffer. Which is pretty crude if you ask me. I mean, so God is all compassionate and all grace. So, but that's how human consciousness looks at life. If somebody has troubled me, the person should be troubled. It comes from there. But what really happens is that this, why does this come? Because there are aspects of creation which have not been explained. And why they have not been explained, and I have very simple logic to it, very rationally I am going to go about it. Say if someone says that this world is a Maya, then to explain that it's because evil is there, because man is wicked, there is suffering, I understand when Buddha says ignorance, that makes sense. Swami Vivekananda says ignorance, which is understandable, because of ignorance we do things or don't do things and we suffer. But to put it as justice is basically because there is a gap in understanding, we cover it up. Like we use the word fate, we use chance, we use destiny. All these are terms which we, because we have an idea in mind to have a neat view of life. So in this attempt to create a new, neat view of life, we cover many things which have so far in spiritual understanding and metaphysics which have remained unanswered, but we have accepted half answers. As I said, Mayavad, it's a half answer. It cannot really satisfy my questioning mind. I'm speaking just of mine. This idea that there have been souls which have been trapped in Ajnanta, and the only chance is that some saints will come and take them back, it shows like divine as an utterly helpless person. So this comes strongly in the way of our understanding Aurobindo. This is what I was referring to. So if we can read Aurobindo, two things. One is with a quest. I want to know. And I gave that example of those two people wanting to convert me. And when I asked certain questions, they said, well, that is something God can only answer. So one problem is that we have many preconceived ideas because hum log bahut padhe likhe log hain. And what I said that, you know, if there are answers was in half jest, because we believe that we know the answers. And of course I agree that answers cannot be known only by book. But this idea that I know because I have read books, I have seen so many people struggling with the supermind only because they have read Advaita Vedanta, and they just, supermind slips past on every side. because supermind slips past it, beyond the non-dual consciousness. And very simply, supermind is where the non-dual, the dual, and the specialized non-dual, I mean Advaita, Dvaita, and Dvaita, Advaita, Visishta, Dvaita, they all merge. They all can be understood from the supramental point of view. But now if I take it as the non-dual, I'll never understand supermind. That's the problem. I'll give you one example, but this topic I'll take up properly tomorrow because of some request, and it comes logically at the end of things. But somebody asked me a question today on, like, questions people ask on Ask a Lobdha. So one of the questions was that, well, once I realize the Atman, why should the mind take interest in matter or the body? Isn't it? Sounds very logical. That's how Advaita goes. The significance of the body is matki phut gai. Once you have realized, doesn't matter. Now if we don't accept it as a final answer and just stretch the logic. So it is like saying that, well, I have had the vision of Shiva and I have seen Shiv Tandav in the original, or Shiv last year, let's put it more, Shiv Tandav, one won't live alive to see, though there have been some odd examples who have actually seen it. But, well, I have heard his music, the music of Krishna. But when it comes to that, well, you are one with Krishna, can you express as a yogi? No, I can't express. So that's because my instruments are not ready to express. So to manifest anything in creation, I need the body, matter, mind, everything to be perfect. Oh, see, it's so logical. There is no difficulty. I may realize the highest truth, but I cannot manifest or express it if my instruments are not ready, neglected. I may have Brahma Gyan, but when it comes to writing about it, of course, I can escape by saying it is something which none knows, none understands. That's okay. But the rishis of the Isha Upanishad, the rishis of the Vedas, they have. The Gita itself speaks about Shara Purusha, Akshara Purusha, Purushottam. So it's not as simple as that we cannot explain. So Sri Aurobindo fills those gaps in our understanding, which unfortunately we thought we understood. So first thing important is, when we go to him, we should go with the humility of a child or a student who wants to learn, understand. And that is true of any guru. Now Sri Aurobindo does not take any test. In olden times, people used to take test. You can't just go to a guru and get Brahma Gyan, highest knowledge. He will test you. And one of the worst tests or the best tests of the guru was, how much do you know? What do you know? It's there in one of the Upanishads this way. Now if you say, I know about Brahman, I know this thing, you say, okay, you don't need to know anything from me. There is the story of it's a Zen story. So there is the story of a professor going to a master. See, that's why in the morning I was mentioning the biggest difficulty is with padhe likhe log. Hum sab us category mein generally aate hain. क्योंकि हमको एक इल्यूजन हो जाता है कि हम जानते हैं. खासकर है, मान लो डॉक्टरी करी है, जैसे मेरी जैसे बंदा, तो अरे डॉक्टरी की है ना, तुम्हें अपना सब्जेक्ट ही ठीक से आ जाए बहुत बड़ी बात है. इट डजेंट मीन दैट आई वुड नो अबाउट डिवाइन. सो द प्रोफेसर गोज एंड आस्क्स ए मास्टर अबाउट, टेल मी अबाउट दिस नॉलेज आई हैव कम सीकिंग. एंड द मास्टर टेल्स द डिसाइपल, प्लीज गिव सम टी टू द प्रोफेसर. And the disciple pours and pours, and the disciple would not stop till the master says stop. He's an obedient disciple. So he's pouring. Now tea is full. Cup is full. And it's flowing and flowing until suddenly the professor says, sir, but it is full. And he says, just like your mind. There's no space for new knowledge to come in. So for new knowledge to come in, we have to go with the humility that I don't know. And along with I don't know, it should be I want to know. Avijñātam vijānata, vijñātam avijānata. These are the two conditions. Now Sri Aurobindo doesn't take any test. And he doesn't take any Guru Dakshina. But it is inbuilt. If we go with a seeking mind and if we go with humility, not with preconceived ideas, then life divine will appear like a majestic Himalayas emerging out of the inconscient. This one problem. Second problem is, Shobindo has written all kinds of things for different people. So if we read the life divine, I have seen sometime that life divine, has become, it's a wonderful book. I mean, I've loved it, enjoyed it. But some people take it almost like, what shall I say, prestige issue. So they'll pick up the life divine. And if they don't understand, so they'll, you know, take it that Shobindo is very difficult because there are long compound sentences and there's etc. etc. Why does Shobindo write long sentences? Because he wants to give a complete truth. That is the problem. Say, for example, if you ask me about this room, short sentence is Maya. Short a sentence. That explains nothing. Or I can write something where it's a nice, spacious room, good ventilation, nice fan and audience. But Shobindo wants to give us complete truth where no detail is missing. No detail is missing about creation or creator. So the only way is through a little long sentence. Now, life divine, when Shobindo was asked why did he write the life divine, of course all these books are Swanta Sukhaya, but he says that he wrote the life divine to silence the mind of those like Bertrand Russell and G.B. Shaw, who are highly intellectualized people. And it is true that Bertrand Russell said that this one book I am unable to understand. He didn't understand. That doesn't mean that if I understand it easily, it's because I am greater than Bertrand Russell. No, because his mind is blocked in a certain way. Excellent writer, I'm not denying it. But then there is a point you cannot understand because you have formations. Now, as I said, in Buddhism and certain traditions, you just get rid of these formations and you experience the self. It is very true. So Shobindo is to be gone like that, like a blank slate. So life divine, yes, also it is written to give the metaphysical basis of creation. And it is written for those kind of intellectuals who would not listen to anything unless it is presented in a language. That's why people engage with it. It's almost like a challenge. Life divine, samajh aa gayi to main kuch hoon. Kuch nahi ho. Samajh aayi, Sri Aurobindo ki kripa se samajh aayi. Or samajhna is not at all enough. You have to realize it, which is a different story altogether. Intellectual understanding at the end of the day means nothing if I have not experienced. I mean, hear all about, the white bird sits by a lake and is intent and watching, then flies, and I would probably think it's a kingfisher if I have never seen a swan. That's understanding has no meaning. I may read about the sea, see a nice light show presentation, even with sound, Pondicherry ka samudra. समुद्र तो उसमें डूब के ही समझा जाता है उसका डेंजर और डिलाइट. सो रीडिंग, एनी अमाउंट ऑफ रीडिंग विल नॉट हेल्प अस अंडरस्टैंड अनलेस वी आर ऑल्सो विलिंग टू टेक द स्टेप्स टू वॉक. द लाइफ डिवाइन डज नॉट गिव अस दोज मेथड्स और वेज. इट डजंट गिव अस द पाथ. इट ओनली मैप्स आउट द जर्नी. इट डज मैप आउट द जर्नी कि ये होगा, ऐसे होगा, ऐसे होता है पूरी ह्यूमन यात्रा. बट for the path, the principles of the path, there is the synthesis of yoga. So first we should be clear what we want to know. Is the life divine just a curiosity? Sri Aurobindo ka naam suna hai, chalo hum bhi padhte hain. Aur uske piche somewhere ladki, haan humne padha hai. Padke bhi nahi samajh aayega. Teesra, there are works of Sri Aurobindo which are very direct, very straight, very simple. There is no round about it. And these are priceless treasures, Letters on Yoga. There are 4 volumes. Letters on the Mother, Sri Aurobindo on Himself. So, 6 volumes to mein abhi, bahut simple. India ke bare mein, early cultural writings, foundations of Indian culture. Why do we leave them out? So direct, so simple, so straight. Let me see if I have some of the letters of Sri Aurobindo. I was reading there for some people. When he talks about the path, what does he say? See, now, what is the difficulty in this? These are from letters. The divine can lead, he does not drive. There is an internal freedom permitted to every mental being called man to assent or not to assent to the divine leading. How else can any real spiritual evolution be done? That's it. Very simple. Not at all difficult. Okay, yoga. तो नहीं, योग कैसे करें? लोग इसमें कि भाई करें कैसे? हमको तो life divine नहीं समझ आ रही, हम करेंगे क्या? Now you see, when it comes to doing the yoga, practice of the yoga, what does he write? All can be done by the divine, the heart and nature purified, the inner consciousness awakened, the veils removed, if one gives oneself to the divine with trust and confidence. And even if one cannot do so fully at once, yet the more one does so, the more the inner help and guidance comes, and the contact and the experience of the divine grows within. If the questioning mind becomes quiet, becomes less active, and humility and the will of surrender grow in you, this ought to be perfectly possible. No other strength and tapasya are then needed but this alone. Now, is it difficult? The whole volumes of letters are full of this kind of, even the metaphysical thing, if one doesn't want to read the life divine, read volume 1 of letters and yoga, everything is there. Supermind, spiritual evolution, self, and not one. Several letters you will find on Chaitya Satta, what is psychic being, what is Atman, what is Jivatma. Even that's why sometimes people ask that, you know, is psychic being same as Shar Purusha? Now why? Because you have read the Gita. But one has not read from Sri Aurobindo's writings. Otherwise it will be very clear. Shar Purusha is everywhere. It's not a unique thing about earth. People want to seek it. No. Everything is there in the Gita. But it's not there in the Gita. Let's face the fact. There is the idea of Jivatma is there, which is very ancient. So psychic being is Jivatma, but as it evolves through the earthly life, then one connects it there in his letters on yoga, that the Jivatma has two aspects. One is the central being, Kendriya Satta, which is always with the divine, and the other which enters into the play of time and space and evolves, puts on a psychic personality. So everything is very beautifully. Like if one asks me what is supermind, well, it's the creator without veils. It's the divine consciousness in its full splendor. It is the omniscience and the omnipotence of God. It is that power of the divine, that knowledge and power of the divine which has gone into creation. Now what does our ancient scripture call it? Pragya prasrato purano. We should not be attached to words, you know, that's how the problem comes. So it has gone into creation, and because the supramental consciousness is behind everything, within everything, therefore the seed of a oak tree will grow into an oak tree, because it is the real idea. Everything follows law and processes. So at least I used to marvel, honestly. This was one of my questions was, ye hota kaise? I am studying laws and processes as a scientist, but how did it come about? So I know I have read books with different answers and patterns, habits, fractals, everything possible. But it doesn't answer that, you know, 98% genes of human beings is the same as fungus. I mean, yeast. Now, whether human beings are like a fungus or not, I don't know. But it's such a wonder that we grow into a human being. That 2% gene makes a difference. Ashcharyavat pashyati kaschidenam. So, if you read Sri Aurobindo, you understand, oh, it is because of the supermind. So, supermind sets, it's also the divine law, the law of truth, the law of right. Satyam, Ritam, Vrahatam, and Yajnavalk speaks about it. He says, Hiranmayena patrena satyasyapihitam mukham Tattvam Pushanna Pavranu Satya Dharmaya Drishte. What is he speaking of? He's saying, oh super mind, reveal your law of truth. I don't know. I am living life according to my ignorant law. See how practical it is. We get hit by life from all sides because we don't know how to live. Actually, we don't know how to live. There is no course like that in the curriculum. And this is the only course which will help us when we come out with all our degrees. How to lead life. So there are so many, we will come lead life in a balanced way, do some, take this food and do this breathing exercise, but this doesn't help. What is that law of truth? If I can lead life according to that, life would be wonderful. So that's supermind. Now you see, it becomes so simple. Nothing complicated. Rest all is there about this. But there's something very simple and... So we have letters on yoga, which are a big number of volumes. In fact, if you ask me very frankly, having seen, read all the books of Sri Aurobindo and the mother, the life divine is no doubt the most difficult. So you can't make that as a standard of... So the life divine is most difficult. Human cycle is also a little difficult because we are not used to thinking so widely. And there, but you marvel, what a knowledge of history Sri Aurobindo has. You know, you go gaga over that. When he talks about the races, the empires, and then I felt so fascinated. Oh, this is all about these empires here. If you want to understand the essence of history, you almost feel civilizations rising and falling, and God is achieving something through that. Why empires came into existence, why they are going, what is a nation, nation's soul kya hai? Matlab, maza aa jata hai, honestly. But human cycle is a little difficult reading for many, but it's a feast. The synthesis of yoga, it's such a joy. Let me read a passage from the synthesis. See, it's so wonderful. Is ye khula hua hai, usi ko padh lete hain. Synthesis of yoga to hai hi, we'll come to that. But synthesis of yoga gives us so wonderfully. Even life divine gives us many sutra. All problems of existence are essentially problems of harmony. I think the other day you were mentioning that. All problems of existence are essentially problems of harmony. And then he gives an example. He says, how does nature harmonize? It starts with conflict and uses these apparent discords to build a greater harmony. And then he gives example of how when life came, it's difficult to make living matter come alive. So it's a challenge. How will a lump of clay begin to breathe and reproduce? But nature has achieved it. And then when you look at it, you see this whole creation like a master musician. He is, you know, the first materials of discord and conflict. He is turning into rhythms of the divine. It's something so wonderful. So we have to read with a lot of patience to understand what Sri Aurobindo is really giving to us. That how it starts with, hota hai na, ghar mein nahi bahu aati hai. Shuru mein badi problem hoti hai, bahu ko bhi, aur both are trying to be one up. Bahu ke paas secret plan hai, ghar to main apne father ke ghar jaisa bana ke rahungi. Aur wo uski maa soch rahi, isko main mold karke rahungi hamare jaisa. तो क्या होता है, बहू के पास सॉफ्ट पावर है, वो है हस्बैंड. तो क्या करती है वो, धीरे धीरे वो सुनती, हाँ अम्मा जी, हाँ पापा जी, और थोड़ा थोड़ा कर रही है, पर हस्बैंड को वो मोल्ड कर रही है धीरे धीरे, उसको पता भी नहीं चल रहा है. हस्बैंड तो वैसे ही फूल्स होते हैं. नहीं, फूल इन द हिंदी वाला फूल, ओके. नहीं, अच्छी बात है. शी इज मेंट टू डू दैट. नो, शी इज, वाई शुड शी रेप्लीकेट एंड क्लोन? शी इज मेंट टू एनरिच. शी इज लक्ष्मी, शी विल एनरिच. शी इज कम ब्रिंगिंग समथिंग न्यू एंड शी मस्ट एक्सप्रेस इट. सो शी हार्मोनाइजेस टू वेरी डिफरेंट थिंग्स. ये तो रोल होता था बहुओं का, बड़ा डिफिकल्ट होता था. कि वो कैसे उस पुरानी व्यवस्था में एक नई चीज जोड़ती थी और एनरिच करती थी. इसे चैलेंजिंग टास्क इफ यू लुक एट इट. तो ये सुपरामेंटल इवोल्यूशन यही तो चीज है. नई बहू कौन है? सुपर माइंड है जो आ गया है. पुरानी बहू कौन है? पुराने सास कौन है? माइंड है. वो कहती नहीं, हमारे हिसाब से चलना है दुनिया को. मुझे तो सुपर माइंड कहीं नहीं दिखाई देता. मैं जैसा चाहती हूं वैसे नहीं करता वो. सास को कोई बहू अच्छी नहीं लगती क्योंकि वो सास के अनुसार नहीं चल रही है. वाई शुड सी? सी इज एटलीस्ट वन जनरेशन अहेड. आपके विचार जो भी थे अच्छे थे, अपने समय में अच्छे थे, नो डाउट अबाउट इट. तो शुरू में दोनों के बीच में ये हो रही है. बाद में क्या होता है? बाद में दोनों की दोस्ती हो जाती है एंड हस्बैंड इज एट द रिसीविंग एंड एंड दे आर फ्रेंड्स. दे लर्न फ्रॉम ईच अदर. हमारी बहू बहुत अच्छी है, वो तो पता है पास्ता भी बनाती है. इनको कभी नहीं पता था पास्ता के बारे में. बड़ी खुश हो रही है कि भाई वो पास्ता भी बनाती है. सो सी दिस इज हाउ सुपर माइंड एंड द माइंड इनिशियली माइंड कैन नॉट अंडरस्टैंड बट अल्टीमेटली सुपर माइंड इज वेरी जेंटली नाइसली मोल्डिंग इट टिल द माइंड बिकम्स रेडी एंड स्टार्ट्स एंजॉइंग द सुपर माइंड बिकॉज इट इज एनरिचिंग. दिस बाय द वे बेस्ड ऑन अ विजन ऑफ द मदर of the big hotel. Those who want to search for it, she speaks of the big hotel where there is a mother and daughter. She doesn't use the word saas and bahu. Oh, amar mera apna. Mother and daughter are going and the big hotel is getting constructed, broken down at places, constructed. And then the manager takes the key and says, come, I'll show you the rooms. But somehow he cannot find the rooms. The moment they go to a room, that room is absent. Or when they go to another room, one room which they want to find, that is not there. Or they find the room, but the key is not being applied. So all this is happening. So the mother says, let's go to another place, or let's demolish this and make a new place. But the daughter says, no, we'll figure it out. And so the mother concludes, the mind is the old creation. It wants to just demolish and do things. And super mind is a new creation. It wants to modify and build something harmonious without canceling, without throwing away the old, change it. So you see, in everyday life, we see the play of the super mind and the mind. And that explains very well. So if we go through these writings, even morning we were reading Yoga and its objects, Essays Divine and Human, Essays in Philosophy. Everything is very easy. I agree, life divine is difficult. But that's not the only work Sri Aurobindo has written. And then on top of it, apart from Sri Aurobindo's 35 volumes, even if we can't read all of them, read The Mother, one volume, one book which says it all with regard to yoga and the understanding. And then we have the mother's writings, which are so simple. So Sri Aurobindo's writings are sometimes like the range of Himalaya, where he is, one foot is on Kanchenjunga, suddenly he leaps to Mount K2. And you are wondering, ye kya ho gaya? Abhi aap jab tak Kanchenjunga ko enjoy kar rahe ho, Darjeeling mein baith ke, wo bhi सूरज चला गया, वो माउंट केटू को शाइन हो रहा है, कहीं और जा रहा है, या इट गोज फर्दर वेस्टर्न साइड किलिमंजारो. सो इट्स शोइंग दैट. सो हियर मदर कम्स एंड टेक्स अस फ्रॉम वन प्लेस टू अनदर थ्रू मल्टीपल शॉर्ट स्टेप्स. सेम ट्रूथ Sri Aurobindo हिमसेल्फ सेड, देयर इज नो डिफरेंस बिटवीन द मदर्स पाथ एंड माइन. सेम ट्रूथ. Prayers and Meditations, Volume 2, 3, Maki writing, extremely simple. Because they were addressed to children. They were basically children, classes of children. So they are very beautiful, profound truths, but revealed in such a simple, direct way. So, kehne ka matlab ye hai ki read Mother and Sri Aurobindo, they are simple. Yes, life divine is difficult, doesn't matter, we can go to some other books. Okay, this question, बोलिए बैठ के प्लीज. I have not mentioned Savitri and prayers and meditation because they are the love of our life. We'll talk about it later. जो सबसे बढ़िया होता है उसको थोड़ा हाँ ओके ऑन दी सम इलेबरेशन कृष्णा एंड काली कृष्णा एंड राधा हाँ राधा या हाँ Yes, Shurabindra has brought Krishna and Kali together. He talks of Krishna and Kali and maybe we can take out the cosmic dance, Krishna and Kali. And in his own yoga, Krishna and Kali had a great significance. So, there is a whole world which comes to my eyes. But let me start with the... I think it is Mahapadma Puran or I think it is Mahapadma Puran where this thing comes about Krishna and Kali. So as per that Puran, there is a conversation between Shiva and Kali. So Shiva and Kali. Not Shivpuran. This is certainly not Shivpuran. This, if I remember right, it's Mahapad Puran. I have read the Puranas long back, so I am forgetting the name, but I'll find out and send you the link. So there is a conversation which takes place and Shiva says, I understand everything of yours, but I can't understand what is it that makes you so special? What's that love that you hold within your heart? Very few people associate Kali with love. But she is intensity of love. Sri Aurobindo is the only one who talks about, I mean, of course, Kali is Ma and love, we know. But that intensity of love of Mahakali. Sri Aurobindo, if you say that way, was a bhakta of Krishna and Kali. So, Shiva says, he says, okay, for that, we'll have to take a human leela. And in human leela, I'll be able to explain to you what really is the love of a woman. You will become the woman and I'll become the man. Deal done, done. So according to this particular Puran, Kali becomes Krishna and Shiva becomes Radha, according to this particular Puran. And therefore he understood what really surrender is. So now we come to, and in Mahabharata also, Draupadi is known to be an incarnation of Kali. This is the famous episode you must be knowing where Bhima has a vision where all the great warriors have come. Even in Trojan War, Kali, Helen is none else but Kali. So, and what a face of Kali. The face that launched 1,000 ships into battle. That's how Homer describes her. So there is, two thrones are left empty. All the great warriors have come. But Bhima is sleeping on a tree and he is seeing it like a dream. So Bhima is not there. All other warriors are there. And then come Krishna. And then comes Kali as Draupadi. And when she sees Bhima is not there, all that she says is, where is Bhima? And Bhima shakes and falls from that tree. Where is Bhim? So Kali has been referenced with Krishna in places. Shyam and Shyama. And if you see the Mahabharata war, definitely Shyam and Shyama has fused into one. He almost discloses it. When Arjun asks him, who are you? He doesn't pick up a flute and says, don't you know? Vrindavan me gaiya charaiya murli Krishna Murari, Madhav Krishna Murari. He doesn't say that. What does he say? He says, Kalos me. I am time the destroyer. Why have you come? Lok Shekrat Prabhadha. Sri Krishna says, this is Kali's action. And at the end of the whole Mahabharata, only 18 out of 18 Akshayini warriors will remain. This is nothing else but Kali manifesting in the earthly plane. So what is the relation between these two? Radha, of course, I'm not going into whether Radha existed or not existed. Let's take it that she existed. Let's be very straight and simple and not complicated. But Radha manifests that perfect delight and love for the divine. But even in the Bhagavat, even if we take that, though she's not directly mentioned, she is mentioned as indirectly she's mentioned. If you go really into the Bhagavat in real earnest, she is mentioned indirectly about someone and like that. But Radha as a fact of mystic experience is definitely there. So Radha is perfect delight and perfect love. But look at this love and delight, perfect. It cannot express itself on earth in a rapturous union with the divine himself. It cannot. Why? Because the world is not ready. So who comes to make the world ready? Kali and Krishna. Kali comes and says, I will make it ready for the dance of delight. That's what we see in Ahana also. But in a slightly different way. Ahana is one of the poems of Shri, long poems of Sri Aurobindo. So he comes as Kali. Kali is, if we go back, just as he says, I am Kala. She is Kali. Kali is who? She is time, the power of time that changes everything. So Krishna brings revolution and Kali brings revolutions. She is the power. That's why she is regarded as the highest of goddesses, because she can finish everything else. When Kali intervenes, even the gods, there is this well-known, the very story where Kali appears and then they have to praise Shiva to go and bear her energy on Shiva's breast. Is Kali's dance. Why? Because when Kali manifests, even the gods are frightened. Why they are frightened? Because now Kali will change time. And if Kali changes time, the gods have to act accordingly. They have to recalibrate, reshift entire, all of them, because a new era of time is coming. So because Sri Aurobindo came to change time, you see the action of Kali so much more. And then when the mother comes, then it becomes different, because mother is none else but Radha. She has said so in so many words. Short of saying I am Radha, but she has expressed it in as many words. When a disciple asks that, some say that Radha existed, some say she did not. So mother says that Radha has existed and continues to exist upon earth. Then she writes Radha's prayer. And what did Sri Aurobindo see in her? Perfect surrender manifested right from the highest to the very cells of the body. And he says, then I knew that the time has come for the divine life to be established. Meaning thereby, this was Sri Krishna's project also. But world was not ready. And that's why Sri Aurobindo repeatedly speaks about laying the truth consciousness as the foundation, without which the play of love and ananda will not, it will automatically get degraded, degenerated, man will not be able to bear it. So Kali first, Radha, and Krishna later. So Krishna has to come first with Kali and do the needful, so that Krishna and Radha can play. And even in Who poem we have read the same thing. We have love for a boy who is dark and resplendent. A woman is lord of us, naked and fierce. And then what does he speak about Radha and Krishna? Our love is the bridal of Radha. Our life is the bridal of Radha and Krishna. Our love is their kiss. So you see both aspects coming together. So this, here Sri Aurobindo speaks of both of them. The cosmic dance. See, these are stories which we have, whose meaning we have lost, because we are too busy with the stories and just we have turned it into a caricature. Not only meaning we have lost. It's very sad to see what Radha and Krishna Leela has become on the television screen. A typical romantic chora and a coy girl who is, you know, running about and shying away. It's I think nahi banao to achha hai serial. Ye mat karo. This what has been turned into. And same thing with, you know, I mean, Garba is a good dance, but you know, what it has become in the name of Radha and Krishna. The cosmic dance. Two measures are there of the cosmic dance. Always we hear the tread of Kali's feet. Measuring in rhythms of pain and grief and chance, life's game of hazard, terrible and sweet. The ordeal of the veiled initiate, the hero's soul at play with death's embrace, wrestler in the dread gymnasium of fate, and sacrifice a lonely path to grace. Man's sorrows made a key to the mysteries, truth's narrow road out of time's waste of dream. This I'm not, you know, because it'll be very long if we try to talk about it. And poems have to be read, Aram says, I'm just sharing. It's very joyous. So, the soul's seven doors from matter's tomb to rise are the common motives of a tragic theme. But when shall Krishna's dance through nature move, his mask of sweetness, laughter, rapture, love? This is the theme. This is the work Sri Aurobindo came to do. That one day, love and delight should be manifested upon earth. He says that I have come to do complete what Krishna started. He says in so many words that what else we are doing here but completing Krishna's work, which also goes with his life and how the avatar passing the baton to the next layer, how Krishna's passes it on to that, well, I tried to give human beings, if I have to put it in human terms, he would say, I tried to give human beings the way to live normally with freedom and delight. These are mother's words. He came to show us the way to live normally, but in freedom and delight. What did man return? Kurukshetra. What did the Yadukul return? That's why when people say, na, I'm Krishna ke vanshaj hai. Bhaiya, toh baat hi na karo. Kya kiya tum logo ne? Hai na, vanshajo nahi toh kya dukh hua hoga avatar ko? Ye hai mere vanshaj, unka apna beta. Shambh. So, mat baat karo. Sometimes some people say, no, ki we are Krishna vanshaj. I say, bhaiya, tum se dur. Krishna, theek hai, tum se toh dur hi rahe. So this is the tragedy of earth, and which he has captured in Savitri in several places. So now Sri Aurobindo comes and he says, first the base of truth. That's why supramental is necessary. And we know what happened to Vaishnava movements. I mean, I need not say things what happened, what still happens in the name of God, in the name of Krishna. So first supramental truth must establish its base so that man is able to live by truth. Then the dance of love and delight will take place. That is the goal of creation, because Anandam Brahmeti, out of the delight this universe has emerged, and it is for the play of delight, but man is not ready to hold that delight. It has turned into pleasure and pain, and just the temptation to just read a little bit also from another poem, Ahna, because since we spoke about, it's one of the long poems of Sri Aurobindo, Ahna. So Ahna is about seekers of truth and hunters of delight. They're all trying to climb the slopes to bring down dawn. Ahna is the dawn goddess, Usha. She is the first goddess in the Vedas that the rishis wanted. She is the illumination, the light. But then it fades away. Savitri starts with that. See, each of these topics is a subject in its own right, and I have to just hold myself back. So, they all are saying that we want you here, and why don't you come here, and you know, do you like to be alone there? It's very nice. Why don't you? You just show your face, then you vanish. Don't you feel lonely out there? Come to earth. Here also we have joy of our own kind. It goes like that. Very human sense. And then at the end, Ahana is listening to all of this. And then she says, I'll come. Now here comes the Krishna's dance with Radha, which is going to express one day. Why it doesn't manifest? Why Radha is a mystery? She is real and yet a mystery. That's the whole problem. Voice of the sensuous mortal, heart of eternal longing. This again in hexameter, which is a very difficult meter, but just see the lilt and the beauty of this. Lagta hai isme Yamuna flow kar rahi hai. Bada maza aata hai isko padhne matra se. Okay, we'll read it as per the meter. Hexameter is jisme 6-footed hexa. Otherwise, most poems will be 4-footed. There's a classical meter. Voice of the sensuous mortal, heart of eternal longing, thou who hast lived as in walls, thy soul with thy senses wronging. But I descend at last, fickle and terrible, sweet and deceiving. Poison and nectar one has dispensed to thee, luring, then leaving. We two together shall capture the flute and the player relentless. Son of man, thou hast crowned the life with the flowers that are scentless. Ye problem hai. Lo, chase the delights that wound, but I come and midnight shall sunder. Says ki you are chasing delights which are going to hurt you. And then she says, when I come, I'll bring Krishna along with me. That's a bonus. So supramental truth means that Krishna's work will be fulfilled at last. That's what it means. Truth consciousness. I'll read a letter after this. I have a snare for his footsteps. I have a chain for him taken. Come then to Vrindavan, soul of the joyous, faster and faster. Follow the dance I shall teach thee with Shama for slave and for master. Follow the notes of the flute with a soul aware and exulting, trample delight that submits and crouch to a sweetness insulting. Then shalt thou know what the dance meant, fathom the song and the singer, hear behind thunder its rhymes, touched by lightning, thrilled to his fingers. And now come these two wonderful lines. Vrindavan's rustles shall understand, and Yamuna's laughter take thy place in the ras and the share of the ecstasy after. So without Kali's preparation, none can, you know, she has to, all things have to be slain. So here comes someone sent on the group, so I'll just read it very nicely. Okay. This is a letter of Sri Aurobindo to Dilip Kumar Roy. So Dilip Kumar Roy was a Krishna Bhakta. And he was always torn between Sri Krishna and Sri Aurobindo. So Sri Aurobindo writes to him, to bring the divine love and beauty and ananda into the world is indeed the whole crown and essence of our yoga. See, that's the whole goal of the yoga. But it has always seemed to me impossible unless there comes as its support and foundation and guard the divine truth, what I call the supramental and its divine power. So what is supramental? Divine truth and its power. It must first lay the foundation. Otherwise, so he says, what would happen if it doesn't come? He says, otherwise, love itself, blinded by the confusions of the present consciousness, may stumble in its human receptacles and even otherwise may find itself unrecognized, rejected or rapidly degenerating, and lost in the frailty of man's inferior nature. But when it comes in the divine truth and power, divine love descends first as something transcendent and universal, and out of that transcendent and universality, it applies itself to persons according to the divine truth and will. So this is the important part, that without the foundation of truth and the power that truth brings, love cannot express, beauty, ananda cannot express. You see, all this falls in chain, seems so logical. It connects Krishna to Sri Aurobindo, which is will be the maybe tomorrow morning's logical theme. The relation between Sri Krishna and Sri Aurobindo, which Sri Aurobindo termed as my double. That's what he said. And someone said, very jokingly, he said, I will not give the credit to my double, Krishna. And I mean, this is, you know, one has to see the context. And then another where Sahanadi saw Sri Krishna fusing with Sri Aurobindo. The mother saw the same thing on 24th November. So he says, how can it be possible? I saw this, and she was again a Krishna Bhakta. How did I see this? Sri Krishna entering and fusing with you. Sri Aurobindo's letter is, who else but Krishna can unite with me? When you read those letters, you can see that tremendous power that Sri Aurobindo brought. None else but Sri Krishna, who has come today as Sri Aurobindo to make sure that the original purpose of creation, delight, that is fulfilled. Please.
So, this is regarding Savitri. So, you know, we say that Savitri is a lot of experiences of Sri Aurobindo, how much of that reflects in the life of the sadhana of the individual?
Yes. Yeah.
In fact, Sri Aurobindo even says that no one reaches heaven.
Who has not passed through hell? None can reach heaven who has not gone through hell. Okay. Yes, so how much of the experiences of Sri Aurobindo and the mother, which is revealed in Savitri, goes into the sadhak's life? Now, if you read the letters on yoga, which is one way to understand. And of course, one can have one's own life and the journey. Well, much of it comes. But it comes in a little different way. So I'll tell you how, why the difference. Sri Aurobindo and the mother are pioneers. So they are building a bridge across River Kwai. Okay, bridge across forever. From the world of ignorance to the world of truth. Through a virgin forest, something which has never been done. So their experiences of building the bridge are going to be very challenging, as you said, very intense. One of the examples you gave, I'm glad, is none can reach heaven who has not passed through hell. And this is how the world has advanced and they have finally built a bridge. But at the same time, what would be our sadhana? To walk over the bridge. There is a fundamental difference. So, we can't build the bridge like they built, and there is no need to build the bridge. And that's what he says. He says, myself and the mother, we don't want you to go through all these experiences. We have, I'm talking of the dark side. That we had to go through all of this because of the necessity of the work. But we do not want that our children should go through everything, all this. We want them to go happily, like any, you know, mama and papa, to okay, fine, we have made it easy for you. Take my ATM card and do the needful. Just remember the PIN code. What is this it called? Pass. PIN. Just remember the PIN is ma, ma, ma. That's So their experience is exactly like that? No. But miniature of that, yes, does happen. For example, the soul's freedom from ignorance is a fact. It takes place in Sri Aurobindo's yoga. Discovery of the soul. Discovery of the higher consciousness. The descent of the higher consciousness. And all that, the nirvana experience. So all these experiences will take place. Entry into the inner countries. Awakening of the centers, opening of the different centers, they will all take place. But let's take one example of finding of the soul, because very often people feel, well, when you read the description of finding of the soul, oh, this is amazing, you know, two white golden serpents at the Linton curled, and then, you know, all that she discovers, Radha and Krishna, Brahma and Vishnu, and Shiva, and, you know, that's not necessary that it will take place. But well, the journey will be somewhat similar, where you feel you are identifying with the gods, becoming closer, gods will become your brothers. You may have actually not just a vision, but real experience of one of them whose portion is operating in you, Jivatma, central being, all these experiences will come. But also the experience of descent into night. Very much. Night of the soul is a well-known reality. And Shubhendra speaks about it. They have spoken of sunlit path, but they say that, well, the difference is that when you walk the sunlit path, you go through that night, but you are protected. Otherwise, one can be caught into it. If you read Blake's poetry about, you know, or some of these people, The Pilgrim's Progress by Bunyan, and they have spoken about the, and Christianity, there is a lot of talk about, you know, the night. And every sadhak at some point has to pass through, because it's a purification process. But the difference is Mother takes us through a much more, you know, safer zone. That's the difference. So it won't be exactly like he faced hell and, you know, in that chill slope and, yeah, so. And sometimes it will pass away as a small little symbolic way. I remember one of my experiences where I found myself in Chad. I didn't know that Chad is a place that exists. It's later on that I discovered that, haan, hai country aisi. Country kya hai wo? Matlab wo typical Islamic. Mujhe laga ye main kahan pahunch gaya. So there I saw that this is totally that chaos, fight and typical Islamic world ka jo ek darkest side hai, I was experiencing. So when I came out, the ship comes and there is a rescue. I have gone there to rescue some people actually. And then there is crossfire. So, woh jo jeevan mein pata nahi kitne real life problems se hota, woh thoda sa dikha ke Bhagwan hata dete hai. So, what he does is, you go through it, but what was supposed to take place in a very in a way that could have been completely unnerving, the Divine Mother takes us through certain subjective states. That's what Sri Aurobindo has said also, that if you leave it to the Divine, He will exhaust the sins subjectively. So, sins se matlab hai ki ye sab jo impurities hain. But if you insist on going through it, then it's a different story altogether. They will still be there together. But ye option hai. Sunlit path is that. So we need not go through all that chill worlds of falsehood. Many things they do without our knowing it, like Satyavan. Usko le gaye mrityu ke ghere se nikal bhi lai maa, pata nahi chala. So that's how it is. But something of that, yes, because that's how you can connect with it. Okay, so it's 4:30, we can stop here and then.